Good morning, everyone. My name is Kyle Russell. I'm a graduate student getting my master's degree at Texas Tech University underneath Dr. Peter Dotre and Wayne Keeling, or Dr. Wayne Keeling, sorry. My research is in dicamba and 2,4-D weed management systems in West Texas. So the problem that essentially every university or every grower is going to be dealing with if they aren't already dealing with now is Palmer amaranth. Palmer amaranth is our driver weed in West Texas. It's a dioecious plant. It's a male and female. It can produce anywhere from 0 to 1 million seeds in a growing season. It has the ability to emerge and produce weed seeds from April up until October. Now, obviously, an October plant that emerges may only put on a dozen seeds, but it's still reintroducing new weed seeds back into the soil profile. Lint yield reduction can reach up to 92% if left uncontrolled season long. But if you look at a plot like this, which is a picture I took at the A&M station I work at the in Lubbock, Texas, no producer is going to drive through this because it's just a hassle. You have to get out of your stripper, pull all the Palmer amaranth out. So you can essentially write it down as 100% lint yield reduction. So the objective of the whole trial was to determine the best weed management systems in to control Palmer amaranth. And along with that is to prevent the development of growth-regulated herbicide resistance. As it was stated earlier in previous presentations, there's already resistance to glyphosate, HPPD as well, and PPO. So we need to try to keep as many of these tools that we can use to control Palmer amaranth available for us as long as possible. And this is just kind of a picture to let everyone know we flagged the technology. So materials and methods, these are the two different, I guess, herbicide systems that we were using. Both of them are very similar. Essentially, the trifluralin, which was a PPI put out, Caprol, which is our pre, dual magnum was a post-residual. The only differences there really were the Ingenia Power Max or Enlist Duo. So Ingenia Power Max is dicamba, or glyphosate, and the Enlist Duo is the 2,4-D choline along with glyphosate as well. I'm going to explain these treatment numbers a little bit here, but when you can actually see the actual plot design, it'll be a little bit clearer. So they're all set up, so you're supposed to be able to look at different systems, whether it's Treflan and Ingenia Power Max, or Treflan Caprol plus Ingenia Power Max. Or you know, you can add tillage into those on odd number treatments, and it'll be a little more clear in a little bit. Application timings, the trifluralin that went out was at April 3rd, and wind speeds were at 11 miles an hour. Those applications were made with a TT-1102 nozzle at 15 GPA. Pre-emergence, so the Caprol was put out on May 16th after planting on May 15th. Wind speeds at 8 miles an hour, those were also applied with a TT-1102 nozzle at 15 GPA. The early post-emergence, whether it was dicamba and Roundup or Enlist Duo with the addition or without the addition of dual magnum, was applied with a TTI 1104 nozzle, and was both of which had wind speeds of 6 miles an hour. I did this because I wanted to try to represent what a producer is going to apply out in the field. So the TTI 1104 nozzles was labeled, and that's what I wanted to follow with. So this is the layout I was talking about earlier, how the field is set up. The north treatments are the ones on the bottom here was our dicamba trial, and the ones on the top, or the south, was the 2,4-D. It was set up as a randomized complete block design, but it was forced randomization in the fact that when I was doing tillage applications, I didn't want to have to lift up, try to set it down at the beginning of the plot, reach 4 miles an hour, so I'm not just leaning the weeds over, I'm actually severing that weed from the root system that's underneath it. So they were set up, the odd number treatments were set up in odd number columns so I could go straight through, staying at a constant speed of 4 miles an hour, turning around, so I was actually separating the weeds from the roots. So I did that for the results. I did percent control of Palmer amaranth on August 18th. This is essentially the last days that you're ever going to have a viable bulb being put on still. So this is going to be representative of what has the plant competed against for weed pressure early or throughout the growing season up to this point. I want to start by the farthest left, whether it's on Extendflex, the dicamba, or the Enlist Duo. The first bar on those has every treatment. So it has that trifluralin put out, it has Caprol, it has dual magnum plus, whether dicamba and Roundup or the Enlist Duo, so 2,4-D and Roundup, and then it has tillage as well. And the takeaway here is if you look all the way over to the right, where it's just a post-application of Ingenia Roundup or Enlist Duo, you're going from a 92% control on the single applications up to a 98 or a 99% control with the addition of all these different systems. Going throughout them, I guess from left to right on either graph, you're kind of losing your weed control, whether it's different systems, whether you're taking away tillage, you're taking away that post-residual, you're taking away that Caprol or trifluralin. So this one here, the September 8th, this is a later season. This is after a second post-application of Dicamba, Roundup, or Enlist Duo. And on these, the Dicamba Roundup applications followed by another Dicamba Roundup, still on the far left, on the left graph, on that far right bar, is around 90% control. So there's still weeds out there. So you want to try to add additional systems to try to control those weeds, the remaining weeds. And if you're adding different systems, whether it's tillage or you're adding a post-residual, you're adding a pre or a PPI, you're reaching that 98, 99% weed control. Over on the Enlist Duo, similar story, not quite as good weed control over there. Enlist Duo, followed by Enlist Duo, had 92 or 93% weed control, and the more systems you were adding to it, whether it was tillage or you're adding that post-residual, you're able to control some of those weeds better. So I want to just talk about the differences in control as well. Like when I'm looking at a percent rating, the picture on the right is what every producer wants to achieve. That dead plant, you can see it was grown. Obviously, this was a 6-inch weed that was affected. It's curled over, so you know that synthetic auxin was affecting it. The picture on the left here is not the same. Yes, that weed is impacted, and will it produce as many seeds? No, it will not. But it still has the potential to put weed seeds out there, so you're allowing new weed seeds to be put into your soil bank. So to conclude, Dicamba and 2,4-D are both useful tools in controlling Palmer amaranth. I mean, there's no question about that. A single application of 2,4-D and Roundup or Dicamba and Roundup achieved 90 to 92% control. But as we've seen in other presentations earlier, it's not that 100% we're trying to achieve. We're still allowing weed seeds to go back into that. So with that, additional integrated weed management practices increase Palmer amaranth control, whether it's just a post-residual application or a tillage application or a pre or a PPI or multiple ones. The more you were adding to it, the better weed control we were able to achieve. Future research would be to study the economic values between it, the differences like in cost-wise to run a tillage implement through compared to a post-residual application or a pre-application. Would be things that we need to look into. With that, I'd just like to thank my advisors, Dr. Peter Dotre and Dr. Wayne Keeling, our technician at Texas Tech, Bobby Rodriguez, for all the help he's offered me. Wayne's technicians, Justin Spradley and Ray White, for all the help they've helped with watering or earlier applications and planting. And then all undergraduate research help I had as well. And with that, I will take any questions. So the question was, how was the Palmer amaranth population throughout the field? So it varied a little bit as it went from north to south, but at the front of the field, we did like a Palmer amaranth count, and there were plots that had upwards of 300 to 400 plot or weeds or Palmer amaranth plants growing, and that was in a 13.3 foot by 30 foot long, so very dense. But then there were some plots that had only 50, but still pretty uniform, and a lot of weeds still out there.
Yes.
So the question was, for stripper harvesting, how many Palmer amaranth are tolerable? And I think that varies whether it's where it's actually placed. If it's growing on the row itself, I mean, the thicker plants, obviously, are going to get caught up in it. But you can stop essentially on one plant, and that'll be a problem. Or you can have some that you're very dense, but as long as your rows are separated from where your actual weeds are, then you're okay to go through it. So it's hard to say, but I would say a rule of thumb would probably be if there's more than in a plot of 30 feet long by 13.3 feet, I would say more than 20 would be a problem.
You say that usually the palm amaranth tends to be right in the cotton row for the
yes.
most part.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question correctly. He said, where do you tend to see the weed actually at, whether it's on the row or between the rows? And it's typically between the rows. They're just not competing for as many nutrients there. You're not fighting for light. But if it's coming up early where you don't have a good, you're not planting into a clean bed, then you can have that problem where it's actually on the row itself.